The other day, I was on our couch downstairs, and Jessica had left, and she went upstairs to help one of the kids, and I became very thirsty. So I did the only thing that I could think of to do at the moment. I whipped out my phone, and I texted her, "Hey, I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink?" Right? And I'm just like sitting on the couch downstairs, being lazy, asking my wife to get me a drink since she was already up there. And I've witnessed some of you guys in this room, like, texting each other when you're like across the table from one another. You're sitting next to each other, you're texting people, and this has become very natural in our society, right? I'm not saying anything's wrong with that per se, but we have many, many ways to communicate. And that made me think about what was it like before cell phones existed. Most of you don't remember what life was like before cell phones. I barely do. But can you imagine having to memorize your best friend's phone number? Do you guys know any phone numbers memorized? I like know my personal one and my wife's. That's about it. But we used to have to memorize phone numbers. How about this one? If you had a, and I do remember this from high school, if you had a crush and I was going to call that crush or whatever, I had to set up a time with them and say, "Hey, be by your phone at this time." And they would go and like sit there and like wait for the phone to ring. As soon as it would start, they'd grab it off the hook so like their annoying little brother didn't pick up. That's what life was like before cell phones. So like you had to do that type of thing. You had to go check your voicemail to see if someone called you. If someone was talking on the phone, my sister used to talk to the guy that she liked on the phone. So I would take the other line and I would listen in on it. Yeah. You used to be able to do that all before cell phones. If you have a house line, you probably can still do that. But people used to check their answering machines, and people used to take pictures with disposable cameras. Have you guys ever used one of those cameras that like click? And then you'd get so excited about developing them, and then 23 out of the 24 photos were like blurry and terrible. And you guys probably don't remember that because you can just take them on your cell phones, but life was very, very different. And we have become, and people have always had ways that we communicate. We are very relational beings. And whether it be by smoke signals, I have no clue how people used to decipher these, but this used to be their like long distance form of communication. Then we had smoke signals, then there was messengers where you'd write a letter and have someone take that letter, the mail. Then you had telegrams. You had to listen to the beeps and know Morse code. People have always figured out ways to communicate. So what's my point in saying all of that? For a relationship to be real, there has to be communication, right? If you can't have two sides of a relationship if you never talk to one another. And if you had someone that you never talked to and they never talked to you, you always ignored each other, I doubt that you would put them into the category of like your friends. There's not really a relationship there. There's nothing going on as far as communication. And guys, so often, with that being said, question for you today, how is your relationship with God going? Is there even communication between you and God? Do you ever stop and talk to Him? When was the last time that you opened God's Word without like having to for a class or a requirement and just spend time with God? Because a keystone of any relationship is that there's communication. And to me, that's often a pretty convicting thought because there's a lot of things that I choose to do over spending time in God's Word. And today we're going to be talking about something very foundational because as Christians, we have the privilege of having a relationship with God. And that's one of the things that distinguishes our religion from all of the religions of the world. We can communicate with a God. We've been talking about that. And we can speak to Him and we can trust that He hears us. Over and over, especially in the book of Psalms, God gives us the promise that He listens to us, that He hears our prayer, and we can communicate with Him. So since we're going back to the basics, we're going to get just about as basic as you can get today. We're going to be talking about the Bible. And we're going to be heading towards prayer. And something that I want you guys to understand, did you realize that you will never outgrow reading your Bible or praying? That's never going to be something that in your life you get past and you're going to be too mature for it. You're going to be in a place in your relationship with God where you don't have to read the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to you. We know this, but oftentimes we refuse to do it. It's never going to be something that's in the rearview mirror of our Christian lives, of our spiritual growth. Every day, I need to be hungry and thirsty for God's Word, for praying to Him. And as a Christian, you need to be healthy here before you are healthy in any other area of your spiritual life. And there's a lot of times where we get frustrated that, hey, maybe God's not using us more in specific areas, or hey, maybe I don't have opportunities to speak, or maybe I don't have opportunities to minister. But when we really look back on it, are you even doing the most foundational thing in your relationship with God? Spending time with Him. One of my burdens for you in youth group is that you will love God's Word. Because if we don't, we're not going to be growing. We're not going to be knowing who God is. We're not going to be able to chase Him. So this morning, we're going to consider, how do we communicate with God? There's got to be communication for a relationship to exist. So let's pray, and then we'll hop in. Father, we are so thankful that we can, first of all, call you our Father, that you have adopted us into your family, and that we are fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that today, even though we're talking about a very foundational thing that we have heard many, many times, that you would work in our hearts, that you'd help us to not be distracted or to potentially take what we're going to be talking about for granted. I pray that you would be active in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, that you'd convict us, that you'd draw us closer to you. You'd help us to see your heart for us in your word. In Christ's name, amen. So every relationship starts with communication. I had this friend in college, and he had this girl that he admired from afar. Okay, so like we'd walk into the dining hall, and he'd look over, he'd see her like hundreds of feet away, and he'd be like, you know what, that's the future Mrs., and then he'd say his last name. I won't give it to protect him and his identity. But I'm like, dude, have you ever talked to her? And he's like, no. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to marry her, right? There's no relationship there. You have not communicated with them. And that got kind of weird. It was awkward. I was like, dude, you need to kind of grow up and like actually go talk to her. There's no relationship going on there. And if you were to walk outside the church today and see me all of a sudden like pick up a rock and start talking to it, what would you think? You would think that I'm crazy, that I'm off my rocker. See what I did there? All right, so that I'm off my rocker, that I'm crazy. Why? Because a rock does not have personality. They did sell pet rocks in the 80s, and people made millions of dollars off of them. But rocks do not have personalities, right? And we cannot have a relationship with a rock. But one of the things that, again, we even talked about it on Wednesday night, is that God is personal. God is a person. And we need to have a relationship with Him. And just like every relationship, you have to have communication with God. So God speaks to us. So how does God speak to us? He speaks to us, first of all, through our conscience. And God has instilled in every single one of His creation, every single man, even if you're not saved, He's instilled a conscience into your heart. And He uses the universal law. That's some big words, but basically, we all have a sense of right and wrong, don't we? I mean, even people that aren't saved. How do I prove that from Scripture? Romans 2:15 says, which show the work of the law, the Bible. There's an innate sense of right and wrong written in their hearts. Their conscience also bears witness. So this is to every single man that's ever walked on the planet. God speaks to us through our conscience and the law. Across all cultures, you will find people who understand this, that there is a right and a wrong. There's got to be a penalty if you do wrong, and that they try to make atonement. They try to make up for the wrong that they've committed. So you'll see all kinds of different religions who say, I have to do this in order for my God to be happy and not to punish me. People understand this. This is innate within us that we have a conscience and there is a law. So the law is our schoolmaster, the Bible tells us. Ten Commandments show how sinful we are, and when we realize how much we've committed wrong, that's when we realize that we need a Savior. So God has put this conscience and the universal law into the heart of every man. Even people who are successful by the world's standards, they can get to like the mountaintop of their success. And all of a sudden they look around and they just think, you know what? There has got to be more to life than this. I mean, I've met all my goals. There's a guy who gave a testimony, Jeff Musgrave. He talked to a guy whose name was Chris. He was 35. He met his goal of becoming a millionaire by the time he was 35. And he's like, I met all my life goals that I set at 20, but I'm empty. What do I do now? And they have a sense that something is missing, and God has instilled in every single person the conscience and the law. He speaks to us through that, but also he speaks through creation. Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. God's creation speaks, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So when we see the creation, when we look around, we see that there is a God. That, hey, we always think this is too good to just happen. And the Bible tells us that, it declares God's handiwork, his majesty. And I just looked up a couple quick pictures of creation, guys. Look at the beauty and the creativity of God. You look at these things and you're like, this did not just happen. I mean, we see the sunsets, we see the clouds, the sky. This would be pretty cool to kayak through. I think it's the North Pole or the South Pole, but there's all kinds of awesome places in this world. And as we look at it, it speaks to us that this did not just happen. I mean, it doesn't really make sense that this would just come to be from a big bang or that it just evolved. There was a creator and it declares the glory of God. And even as we look at the universe and the way that it's all held together, it shows us that God is the creator. He speaks to us through that. And that ought to draw us to the fact that there's got to be something out there. And I need to find out the God who created this, and he is drawing us through general revelation. Who knows what general revelation is? There's a blank on it on your handout. You can fill that in. It's all three of the things we just talked about. Our conscience. It is the law. And it's creation. So who can explain to me what general revelation is? Yes, Katie. Yeah. Everyone can observe it. Everyone can see it. It's to all people. But there is also something, put this on your handout, specific revelation. Speaks to us through special or specific revelation, which is the Bible. So general revelation speaks to the fact there is a God. He's out there. There's more to life than what I can see. So I've got to go somewhere to look for this God. And the Bible is where God reveals himself specifically. This is who I am, and this is my plan for you. And we see all these things that ought to draw our hearts to God. And a healthy Christian loves to hear from God through his word. Let me repeat that. A healthy Christian loves to hear from God and his word. So that's a pretty convicting statement, probably for all of us, but especially for me. Imagine that you and your best friend have a fight. What are your conversations like while you're having that fight, or like just afterwards? Are they like normal? No. Do they get kind of awkward? Yeah, you're like, hey, you want to hang out Friday night? They're like, no, I got to do all my homework for the next week. Right? And you like give all these excuses about why you're not going to hang out. You're like, dude, you don't do homework on a Friday night. No one does that. And we try to avoid them. Things get awkward. And what is that pointing to? That something is off in that relationship. Something's not right. And so, guys, question for you this morning is, is that kind of the stage in your relationship with God where you are right now? That maybe you feel weird going to the Bible, or you're avoiding the Bible because you know that you've got sin in your life. And maybe you don't really want to read the Bible because you don't want to give up that sin. Or maybe it's just because I don't want to be confronted with it. I don't want to feel awkward. I don't know how to deal with it biblically. And maybe in your relationship with God, you're avoiding him. Is that where you are? Because a healthy Christian loves to be in God's word. And that is a barometer for where you are spiritually. It measures where you are. Do you love being in God's word? So have you sinned? Maybe you don't want to be confronted with it. But if when we are right with God, we are consumed with being in God's word. It is a passion that we can't wait for it. We hunger for it. We see that in the Psalms, that as the deer pants for water, so my soul longeth after you. And guys, so often this is not where we are spiritually. How do we fix that? First thing is you've got to pray. But also you've got to meditate on what God has revealed to you in His Word, because we want to be with the God who gave up His Son and died in our place and get to know Him. A healthy Christian wants to be with Him. And guys, throughout Scripture, we're going to hear that He hears us, that He listens to us, that He comforts us, that He does correct us, that He is a loving friend, a loving Heavenly Father. And guys, that is the God with whom we need to be communicating with. Have you kind of just like, in your own mind, thought, hey, you know what? I've been hearing this since I was a little kid. I don't really need to be in the Bible. I mean, we all heard that song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, 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 right? And we don't like hearing that song because we've heard it before, but really examine your own heart. Do you love God's Word? Are you thirsty for it? So now, why is the Bible so important on our walk with God? Why is it such a big deal? Let's just take a couple minutes, and today we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at the nature of what the Bible is. What is the Bible? The Bible is, first of all, it is a collection. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're going to read in the Bible, you're going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis, Psalms, all these different books that were written by different people. But in the past, God spoke to and through various people who wrote down God's words. He used all the different authors of all those books. And how do I know that? Because Hebrews 1 says this, God who at sundry times, who at many times, and in diverse or various manners, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God speaks to every single one of us through specific revelation in His Word in the Bible. God spoke His words through people. Some people wrote history. Some people wrote poetry. Some people wrote prophecy. But all of the different books of the Bible, the collection of the Bible, are God's words. They came straight from the mind of God. How do I know that? 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. And one argument you may hear a lot of people say is, hey, how can I trust the Bible? It was written by all kinds of different people. I mean, is it really God's word? I mean, we have the book of Peter, which means Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, Peter wrote it, right? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit gave them the exact words that He wanted them to write down. So guys, really, what are we doing in this Sunday school? We're kind of doing a very basic theology of the Bible. How can we trust God's word? Because it is God speaking to us. But also, we're learning about who God is, what He's given to us. The Bible is a canon. Big word. Just means it is a complete collection of one person's works. Shakespeare has a canon. If you put all of his works together, it'd be the complete works of Shakespeare. But guys, the author of the Bible is God. He chose to write the Bible through many different people, through many different prophets. So here's where I want you to think a little bit, and I want you to apply with me. What is some application that we can and should pull from the truth that the Bible is a collection of books written by one person, God? What's an application of that? How should that change the way we walk with Him? Ashlyn. Yeah, we know we can trust it. That, hey, I can trust God's word. Because it's not written by men, it's written by God. Tommy. Okay, God is the ultimate source of knowledge. He doesn't give us all knowledge, but all knowledge in Scripture is accurate, is right. So how do we apply this like devotionally? How does this help us grow in our relationship with God like this week? How do you apply it? How does this change your life? That God wrote a complete collection in the Bible. Yes.
We can understand how God used different people to different situations.
Bingo. That's one thing that I'm coming to later. We're going to talk about it. We know that God used different people in different situations of life, with different personalities, with different creativity levels, with different life experiences. And He used all of them to accomplish His will. So for you, you can't, as we compare ourselves to other people, you can't say, you know what, I'm better or worse than them. God uses people. So the Bible is composed of two testaments. Pretty obvious. We often call them the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's a clear division between them. And in general, the books of the Old Testament, what do? They point forward to Jesus Christ. They prepare our hearts for the coming Messiah. Specifically, a lot of them were written to the nation of Israel, but also the New Testament. It highlights the fact that Christ has come. It highlights Christ's coming and its significance. So why is it important to us in the New Testament? If you read through the letters of Paul, if you read through the letters of 1 and 2 Peter, they're saying, hey, Christ has come. This is how it's changed the way that we relate to God. And this is how we're supposed to walk. This is how we're supposed to live. This is how it changes us. And so often we read Scripture and we can easily forget that as a whole, it has a main theme. It is connected. It is all written by God. And it is a revelation in the form of a story. The Bible is a story of what God is doing on this earth. It's a story of His creation of man, their fall into sin, and then how God is dealing with sin and dealing with man so that He can have a relationship with man. That is the story of the Bible, and as a whole, it's about what God is accomplishing in the world. Now, one of the best things for me about eating at a Chinese restaurant is that after the meal, I can always get like a fortune cookie. Now, fortune cookies, does anybody like them, the taste of them? You actually like the taste? Okay, so like I don't. I'm like, they're kind of like cardboard. But what I like to do is I like to look at the saying in the middle, because usually it's like really stupid or like super, super vague. And I find them pretty interesting, pretty funny, pretty amusing at times. And did you guys know that actually the fortune cookie probably did not originate in China? You guys know that?
Yeah.
Some people believe that it came from Japan. But most likely, most historians, I don't know why they study this. I mean, I'm not dedicating my life to studying the origin of fortune cookies. But some people do. They believe it came from this great state of California. That a restaurant owner out in California created the fortune cookie. And that's where it came from. So it's kind of become an American tradition. But here are some fortune cookie sayings for your viewing pleasure. You'll be hungry again in 1 hour. It's probably not super accurate. For me, it's like half an hour. That's too long. I'm always hungry. How about this one? The end is near and it is your fault. Like, whoa. That's like a slap in the face, right? How about this one? The early bird, this is for your procrastinator out there. The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Think about that one. So that's for procrastinators. Here's my favorite one. This is like the most, ambivalent writer of fortune cookies I've ever seen. Meh. Right? Like, and he didn't even think about what to put in there. But why did I bring up fortune cookies? Because it doesn't really seem to connect. I did it to draw a point. Sometimes we forget what the Bible is and that it's all connected, and we kind of view scripture verses as fortune cookies. We kind of take the little snippets of it and we try to like use it as like a self-help book, or like, hey, this is going to make my life better today if I do this. Or we try to just like go to the Bible and think, hey, God, please give me something for today. Please give me something that's going to make my life easier. And the Bible is not a bunch of different fortune cookie sayings. The Bible is a story about what God is doing, what He's done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ, and how He's saving you. It is about Jesus Christ. God is saving fallen man from sin. The Bible is a story all about Jesus. And the Bible needs to be read as a single book with a glorious theme that God is saving us. So in books, you always have like a hero and a villain most of the time, right? The hero of the book of the Bible is Jesus Christ. You ever seen one of those movies? And I always think of like the Lord of the Rings, when all of a sudden they're having that huge battle in the valley, and all of a sudden up on the hilltop comes, who is it? Is it Gandalf? Or Gandalf, whatever it is. And like the clouds part, the sun shines, everyone stops and looks up. And Gandalf is obviously like the hero of that story. And guys, Jesus Christ is the hero of the story of the Bible. And He is saving us from our sin. Brian Chappell writes this in his book on preaching. Every text of the Bible is predictive of the work of Christ. It points towards Him. It's preparatory of the work of Christ. It prepares our hearts to receive the Messiah. It's reflective of the work of Christ, talks about what He's done, or it's a result of the work of Christ. The Bible is about Jesus. And it's a story. So by way of application here today, so often we shift the Bible's focus from Jesus and we want to place it on ourselves. Again, kind of what we've already talked about. God, please give me something to make my life easier. How can I make my life better? And we go to it and we're like, you know what? If I'm going to obey, what am I going to get out of it? We go to the Bible and say, how can I get God to do what I really want Him to do? And we have shifted the story of the Bible from Jesus to us, and we become so selfish with it. And so often our prayers are selfish, and all we pray about is ourselves and what we need, what we want. And sometimes we go to God's Word in the same exact way. God, give me something. When was the last time you went to the Bible and you took it and you said, Lord, please show me something about You? Not just, hey, make my day easier. Hey, give me something that's going to take care of this problem. Lord, show me something about You so I can praise You and glorify Your name. And here's some, let's help each other out this morning. What are some practical ways and some practical approaches that you guys have found that when you read the Bible, when you do your time in the Word, you have your God and I time, that you can kind of shift your focus to God? Let's get a little bit practical here. Let's apply it. How do you do that? Ashlyn. Okay, you can cast your care upon Jesus. You can give your burdens to Him, knowing that, hey, God's going to take care of it, and now I can focus on Him. What else? Andrew?
Praying through the Psalms. As in, like, I think it's Psalm 121, I lift my eyes into the hills from where comes my help. What's the focus that we can always rely on Him?
Yeah, prayer. Before we begin, I got to pray, God, help me to focus on You, and not just, hey, show me something. That it's about God. That's where my help comes from. What else? What are some of the questions you can ask yourself as you're reading Scripture? Well, Lisa was going to add something.
I was keeping a notebook about God, so when you read something, you reveal something about yourself. Write it down, know that God is this. When you pray, you focus on that.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's been very helpful for me, is to keep a devotional journal that I reword the application of a verse for me, or I change a prayer of the Psalms to be a prayer for me. And I look for things about God, and we can just write, my God is faithful. My God is trustworthy. And we just build a biography of who God is in our minds. And that shifts our focus from, hey, this is about me, to this is about God. So the Bible is also all about what God is doing through Jesus. And very obvious statement, it is God's Word. We started off with this. We're coming back full circle to it. God is not silent. He has not left us alone on this world without advice, without counsel, without wisdom. God has given us a place where we can run to and find where He addresses issues. And God wrote a message to us in a very unique way. He used the words, He used the personality of other believers, of people who wrote down those words, and He worked through them. So I'm going to come back a little bit in a more summarized form to what we already talked about, what Josiah brought up. Application for us is that God does ministry through people. And we're going to back up a little bit to look at some Scripture. He used people, but nonetheless, the Bible is God speaking to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for four things. To teach us, for doctrine, for reproof. It does confront us, for correction. It corrects us, and also it instructs us in how to live. And the Bible gives us all of these steps, and every part of the Bible is going to come true. Matthew 5:18 tells us that all of the words in the Bible, they're going to be fulfilled. So, back to the application section. He's been very consistent with His approach to ministry. God has. He uses people. And you may feel like your personality is not one that is suited for ministry. That, hey, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not talented enough. And God uses people. Do you think that He can use you? Yeah. He used somebody who was murdering Christians to write parts of the Bible. I don't think any of us have murdered other Christians or murdered anyone. If you have, you probably wouldn't be in this room. Don't confess it right now. But guys, Paul uses very sinful people with all kinds of weaknesses. God uses very sinful people, and God wants us all to minister. It's not the responsibility of a select few. It is all of your responsibility to minister. So guys, when you go to the Bible, when was the last time you prayed, "Lord, please give me opportunities to minister today. Please use my personality, my weaknesses, my strengths. Please use me for your glory." Because God spoke through all kinds of different people to write the Bible, and we all have that responsibility. And I'm not even talking about going to God and saying, "Lord, do you want me in full-time ministry?" I'm going to put a quick plug in and quick challenge. I think that that's something that I've sensed God is working in some of your hearts, and maybe that is something that you take time today, "Lord, is that something you really want me to work for?" Do you think that desire came from Satan? If there's any desire or like conviction about that, Satan doesn't want you to go in the ministry. So where did it come from? God. God, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. Is that something you need to pray about? But even if that's not, guys, if you're just someone who isn't even a pastor, you have a responsibility to minister and to be in the ministry. God uses all kinds of different people. So I'm actually going to stop for a moment and give you a second just to pray. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds. I'm going to challenge you to pray, "Lord, please today reveal a specific way that I can minister and use my personality." So I'm going to give you 30 seconds because we've got to move quickly. Bring it to a close. All right, let's bring it back up here, and I'm going to bring it to a close very quickly here in the next few minutes. But question for you, does God still speak through His Word? Yes or no? Yes. Now, it's been completely written, right? So it's done being written, it's complete. Does that mean that God no longer like actively speaks through it? Everything's there, but here's what I'm getting at. The Bible is unique amongst all other books, because look at Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick." That word "quick" doesn't mean fast. It means alive. It says, "You once were dead in your trespasses and sins" in Ephesians, "but now are you quickened, you're made alive. For the Word of God is alive, and it is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God actively uses His Word to speak. So does that mean that God has given us everything that He wants us to know in His Word? Yes. Does it mean that God has given us every single thing that He knows in His Word? No. But God has given us 2 Peter 1:3. It's complete. It's done. And in 2 Peter 1:3, it tells us that He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And in Revelation, we are told not to add to it or subtract from it. So, in conclusion here, why is the Bible so important to us? Because of what it is. It's nature. We've seen what it is, what it does. Next time we're going to talk about what it does specifically. But it's vitally important to our lives. Last point today is because it is trustworthy. How can we, and it's come up already today, the Bible comes from God and it reflects His character. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. So I can trust everything that I read in God's Word. And yes, it takes faith, but I can trust everything in God's Word. God cannot lie. It tells us everything we need to know about Him, everything we need to know about ourselves. And if you guys could hold off on unpacking up just for a moment, it's distracting for a couple other people around you. I know we finished the notes, but we need to dedicate our lives to reading and studying God's Word. Can any of you remember a time when you were counting on someone to pick you up somewhere and they didn't show up? How'd you feel? Like, you felt pretty, like, abandoned and, like, left. Have you ever been lied to? Yeah. Have you ever shared a secret with someone and they've given it away? Or they've told other people? You lost trust in that person. Trust is one of the most valuable and sacred things that you can have between two people in a relationship. And, guys, God is absolutely trustworthy. When you've had your trust broken many times, maybe people have failed you, you can still look, excuse me, you can still look to God. And we often look through the lenses of when people fail us, and we can look to God as absolutely trustworthy in His Word. He will not make promises that He won't keep. I just want to close by reading a section from Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So that really sums up our relationship with God. He is our refuge, our defense, our fortress. And we can trust in Him. We can trust God's Word. So the Bible is essential for us. Next time we'll look at what the Bible does, what it does in our lives. That'll be in 2 weeks. Next week we've got a testimony from Tony Garrett, a very funny guy. I think you guys will enjoy it. And a couple other teens will be giving some testimonies during Sunday school. Encourage you to be here. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank You so much that You have given us Your Word, that You have given us the Bible that we can trust.